Last time on Ask Dr. Gill, I discussed the beginnings of vibratory medicine. And specifically, I discussed what vibration is and how that affects health and healing. Today on the podcast, I want to discuss how that moves into the body and how that works physiologically. And we're going to talk a little bit about the emotional component, because I don't think you can separate the two. Because your biography becomes biology. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman. And today on the podcast, this is a part two of a series I'm doing on vibrational medicine. And just as a reminder, what I talked about last time is about how our whole universe is in vibration. And that includes us. All the cells in our body, they vibrate. And there are frequencies that shift within us. And I think that it's important to recognize that. And this is where some of the, I talked about different modalities, such as sound healing, acupuncture, and homeopathy, polarity therapy. I talked about the meridians in terms of acupuncture. These are the vibratory elements that we can work with in terms of healing. But how do we get there? Like, why do people get sick in the first place? And this is where biology stems from biography is so important, because I think that what we don't realize is that everything that happens to us is stored in ourselves. And I talked a little bit about Candace Pert's work. Candace Pert was, she's since passed away. She wrote a book called Molecules of Emotion. She was a molecular biologist. She was in on a Bill Moyers, who's a journalist, did a series on healing. And she says, clearly there's another form of energy that we have not yet understood. For example, there's a form of energy that appears to leave the body when the body dies. And then she says, your mind is in every cell of your body. And her work, by the way, from a molecular biology point of view, was she was able to pinpoint how emotions, so we're talking in terms of mind and body, you know, mind, became physical peptides, small molecules, they're called neuropeptides, that are emotions, and those get stored in our body. And we normally think of these in terms of neurotransmitters, but there's more than that. And so when you feel sad, for example, that creates a chemical in your body. Your body creates that, as opposed to that. When you feel love, your body creates chemicals. Now, we don't have the details on this yet, by the way, but we do know that this is wired into us. And so this is an example of how vibration, emotion in this case is the vibration, really it comes from thought. And we're going to get to that in the next podcast, not in this one. But vibration will start the process and the cascade that ends up in the physical. So emotions become patterns that end up in the cells, literally. I want to make a clarification here, just because I think that people kind of get lost in the weeds here, thinking, oh, I can't have a negative thought. It's not so much that you can't have a negative thought, though I do think it's important not to berate yourself about something and not to criticize yourself, because I think the body responds to that. It's almost like our body is an animal, like a pet. When you yell at your dog, it doesn't necessarily respond the same way. It will be more fearful of you the next time you interact. And this is where you see abused animals showing up and cowering because they've been abused so much. And then as if they get a new owner, that clarity shows up, that joyfulness, that sweetness will show up that was missing for some time. It's really sweet to see that, by the way. One of the vendors here near me that I go to, she has a dog that fits that. And she barks at me until she gets a sniff of me. And then she's just like, oh yeah, I remember you. And then she's really sweet. And this is kind of what our bodies will do. Like when we berate ourselves, it's kind of the same feeling. And I'm actually feeling it right now. Like I'm feeling this, oh, like my body relaxed as I'm saying this and recognizing this. It's really kind of an interesting thing. So vibration isn't the same as good or bad emotions. Vibration shows up with repetitive internal patterns. So it's when you always have the emotional tone that becomes the background hum. And that's where people get stuck, right? And this is where I think things get really challenging when you're in an environment. So if you're in a system, a family system or a work system with dysfunctional patterns, it's hard to break out of those. And it's almost like we become loyal to the ideas, to the thoughts, to the people that are there. And often what I find with patients is they are loyal to ideas about themselves that they cannot change or they're unwilling to change. And Carolyn Mace talks about this. She calls them acquisitioners. It's almost like she's using it in terms of attic, but it's not. I mean, attic is an example of that. What she's talking about, which I think is really important in terms of this vibratory medicine piece, is that we can give our power away to an object, idea, or person. And when that happens, it changes our emotional and regulatory frequencies. And emotions are signals to us about what's going on in our system, and we are not, as a society, taught to engage with those things. There's nothing magical, by the way, about certain feelings. There's nothing magical about sadness, anger, hurt, joy. There's nothing about that. But we live in a society that basically works towards we should feel more good and less bad. And life is not about that. Life is about we experience something and then let it go, right? That's what our bodies want us to do. And so what can happen is we'll call it congestion. And this is when the physiologic changes start to happen, because you're getting flooded with the same emotional frequency and you're not releasing it. And so when you begin to understand and feel your emotions, then the inhibition doesn't block what's happening, right? That's an important piece to recognize. It's important to understand, oh, I'm having this emotional reaction. It doesn't matter why, by the way. The why isn't important. And usually we go to the why. We're trying to understand it. What's important is to feel it, to allow it to flow through you. And then the vibration changes. So, and I think that what happens to people is their identity is stabilized in the frequency, in the vibrational of what the emotional idea is, right? And this is kind of where I've talked about this on the podcast. I will be doing a workshop on this, on how to change your health story, because it's not about the story that needs to change. It's about the vibrational frequency. And once you understand that you're changing the frequency, that's when healing can happen. And by the way, that's the real work. So I think our belief systems become long-term carriers, frequency carriers, if you will. And so this is, you know, it's not just that you will gravitate towards someone with a similar belief system. You're gravitating to someone with a similar frequency. It's not just about the ideas. It's about the frequencies. And a lot of this has to do with our sense of loyalty to the ideas and our assumptions about safety and worth and agency. So in I think, you know, the fact that we tend to gravitate towards people with the same ideas creates a situation where you don't get out of the frequency, you don't get out of the beliefs, you don't get out of the emotions. And the example of that is politics, right, in the United States right now. Because we have two camps of people with ideas about the world that aren't willing to discuss what they're, you know, what the other side is saying or thinking. And the thing is that you basically have, in effect, self-perpetuating echo chambers of ideas and how stupid the other side is based on that. Generally, you need the other side to understand it. And this is where shadow work is really important. I will talk more about this next time, but we want to understand the aspects of ourselves that we can't see or that we deny. And I think that this is happening a lot, that we're denying stuff about ourselves in the other. And generally, it's the internal conflict that happens that is about the thing I don't want to see within me, I'm putting out on you. And integration of that stabilizes your vibration. It creates healing, because no longer are you rejecting that part of yourself. You're integrating it back into the system, right? And by the way, we see this a lot in relationships, in romantic relationships, I mean. And this is part of the attachment theory. Because like an avoidant is just as scared of being abandoned as the anxious person. It's just that they abandon the other person so they don't get abandoned, right? That's the amazing thing about it. Just like the anxious person is also avoidant on some level. And so this interplay happens because the two people aren't willing to see, oh, there's a part of me. And really it comes down to, I'm afraid of being vulnerable. I'm afraid of being hurt. And that interplay keeps playing out until the two people admit that they're not willing to face their own fear, right? Relationships are amazing as mirrors of what it is about ourselves we need to look at. And I think that oftentimes, by the way, this is really painful. And oftentimes there's elements of abuse in here. And it's not just, and I'm not talking about physical abuse, you know, and physical violence for a minute. It's, you know, I'm talking about emotional. But it's ways that we abuse ourselves too. And I think this is a lot of the issue that we see in terms of illness. And this is, by the way, a vibratory element. And this is why trauma work is important. But it's also important not to be attached with the ideas behind trauma. It's important to recognize, okay, this happened to me when I was younger. But if you identify with that and don't move beyond it, you're not getting into the healing state either. So this is kind of where it's important to look at. So I'm going to take a quick break. And on the other end of the show, I'm going to talk about what you can do about it. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Gill, your host, and this is the Ask Dr. Gill podcast. And I just want to remind you, if you have any questions or concerns, comments, please feel free to send an email to info@askdrgill.com. And if you like the show, I'd love it if you'd send me a note and or leave a review on whatever platform you're listening on. It really helps in terms of getting the word out. And I thank you to all the people who've left kind words already. And I really hope that this is helpful for you. So today we're talking about the psychology of vibration and how we take meaning, emotion, and identity and shape our inner frequency. So I guess, you know, the important thing in terms of what can I do to help myself, Dr. Gill? What are the messages that you would have? Well, I think it's important to understand your emotional baseline. That's first and foremost. And that can take time, by the way, because a lot of us are not in touch with how we're feeling. I mentioned that we tend to gravitate to groups who are similar. It could be that the group is doing whatever it is doing. And there's a book, and I actually did this challenge, and I will put this out to you to do the challenge too. It's called A Complaint-Free World, and I cannot think of the author right now, but it's really interesting because it was a minister who realized, oh, he complains a lot, and what he did is he just got a wrist bracelet, and he said to himself, I'm going to go 30 days without complaining, and if I have a complaint, I start over. And he would take the bracelet if he caught himself complaining, and this is out loud, not in your head. He would take the bracelet and move it to his other wrist. And I think he said it took him 18 months to get through 30 days because it, you know, he kept. I actually did it. It took me 7 months to do it. And it was very liberating to do that. Now, I complain, by the way. I'm not saying I don't complain. I do complain. I've talked about that on the show. What I found with it was it changed my relationship to my internal dialogue about things. And also my external dialogue about things. So that is an example of how you can shift your emotional baseline. Now, it doesn't have to necessarily be with complaining, although it could be. It could be whatever else you might be true for you, right? This is about tracking your repetitive internal narratives. And I think that once you begin to do that, then you have enough awareness to allow for the emotional completion. What do I mean by that? It's, I'm just going to feel the feeling, whatever that is. So in terms of complaining, you can look at like, what is it that you're complaining? Why are you complaining? What is it you're complaining about? And it may be that it's a feeling of unsafety or fear around something. And this is really important. Because if your mind is in your cells, as Candace Pert talks about, then that means that the release isn't in the cortex, right? It's not about insight. It's about allowing the experience to flow through you. And generally, when I've had my biggest breakthroughs, and I'm talking personally now, it isn't the insight that does it. The insight is the first part sometimes, you know, understanding, oh yeah, when I was a child, this happened, whatever it is. You know, my father didn't want me. That isn't enough. It's to feel that experience of not being wanted. And allowing yourselves to process that. Because in that situation, there's probably a behavior or a series of behaviors that are happening as a result of that. And that's the other thing you could do is look at your behaviors. Or sometimes people can be helpful for this. This is where therapy is helpful. And I'm going to harp on AI therapy for a minute. This is why AI therapy sometimes isn't helpful, at least not yet, because you have to be really honest with yourself because you're giving the input to the therapist. But a good therapist is going to be able to see something in you that you may not communicate. For example, that you're angry or sad or whatever. And that reflection is really, really important. And AI, at least as far as I know right now, AI can't do that. Not yet. So that's another harp on this. I keep getting emails, by the way, from people who want to be on the show to talk about AI products. And I don't want the show to be about AI products, but also about AI. But I think it's pertinent right now in certain ways. So anyway, that's a quick aside. So I guess the thing to recognize in close is that psychological, like these vibrations affect our physiology. And so we need to work with it both in the vibrational field, but also in the physical field, right? You need to heal both. You need to work in both. And it's understanding the psychology, but it's also, but it's feeling it into the physiology. And that's where you get relief. That's where this starts to shift. Because here's the thing. Because your biography becomes biology, as that congeals, and I'm using that term for a reason, because vibration will congeal into something solid, right? I'm talking in terms of physics right now. You have something that vibrates, it moves. And eventually the vibration slows down and becomes solid. That's why we're solid, even though when you look at it from a quantum physics point of view, we're 70% space, or maybe even more than that, 90% space. You know, but we, you know, there's a solidity to us that we experience, and that's because it's congealed, right? And disease is that congealed essence. Changing the vibration will allow whatever's in the physical to change as well. This is where I believe miracle cures happen. And if you're not willing to do the work, then go conventional medicine. And because that's going to save your life. And I think it's important to recognize that. But and most of the people I work with, I'm doing both in a sense, because we're trying to get symptom relief while their vibration changes. That's the goal. So that's what I got for you today. I hope you enjoyed this and got something out of it. Next week, I'm going to talk more about this, and we're going to talk about how emotions and shadow shape this and how this works in the collective and also in relation more. How we tune into each other's psyche a little more as well. So thanks so much for joining me, and I will see you next time.